My guest at this time is Eric Stackelbeck. He is a terrorism analyst at the Christian Broadcasting Network. He is also the author of ISIS Exposed, Beheadings, Slavery, and the Hellish Reality of Radical Islam. We want to get his thoughts as concern, obviously, about not only ISIS in the Middle East, but ISIS-inspired terrorists in the United States continue to fill our thoughts and the news headlines lately. And Eric, thanks very much for being with us.
Greg, great to be with you.
One of the things that we've obviously seen over the past few weeks, ever since Paris and San Bernardino, there's, on the one hand, the military strategy to take out ISIS Central, I guess you could call it, in the Middle East. But then there's what to do about those inspired by ISIS, whether it's like the couple in San Bernardino or elsewhere, that may or may not be on the radar of law enforcement. And whether it's the president or presidential candidates of either party, nobody seems to have a great handle on how you root that out and figure out who's a threat. So how do we begin?
Yeah, Greg, I think number one, let's identify the ideology. Terrorism is only a tactic. It is driven by an ideology. It is Islamic jihadist ideology. Now, President Obama refuses to admit or acknowledge that ideology exists. But if you name it and you start to battle back against that ideology, at least you have a fighting chance. Think back, Greg, to the Cold War. Think to the Solidarity Movement in Poland, Radio Free Europe, where we had a concerted effort by the U.S. government to battle against communist ideology and prove that it's bankrupt. We need the same kind of all-hands-on-deck effort today against Islamist ideology, a full-court press to discredit it and to neutralize it. And if we don't, we're going to continue to see young Muslims in this country, in Europe, in the West, gravitate towards ISIS and be attracted to ISIS in this new caliphate they've established. By the way, real quick, Greg, another thing that would help discredit it is to destroy this mini caliphate that ISIS has declared in Iraq and Syria. If you do that, you hopefully demoralize the global movement and put a dent in that ideology.
One of the things, of course, that's slightly different, you didn't hear a lot about people being concerned about tarring all of communism during the Cold War with a bad ideology, which you hear from the president and others who are worried about using the term radical Islamist terrorism, is that there's a lot of moderate or peaceful people they say you're going to need as allies to find out who's radical. And by painting with a broad brush, people aren't going to be able to separate one from the other. What do you say about that?
Well, Greg, I think, look, if you are truly a moderate, peace-loving Muslim who wants no parts of jihad, wants no parts of Sharia, you should have no problem at all with the term radical Islam. If that does not apply to you, why would you have a problem with it? If you are a truly moderate Muslim, you should be outraged by what ISIS, Hezbollah, Hamas, Al-Qaeda, and all the rest are doing. For President Obama to say that, number one, it's intellectually dishonest, in my view. He knows when people say radical Islam, jihadist, he knows that people aren't talking about all Muslims. Obviously, every Muslim isn't a terrorist. We know that. And he knows that. President Obama knows that. It's a straw man when he says that to quiet his critics. But you have to, again, you have to name what you're up against. In World War II, we clearly named we are fighting Nazis, Nazi ideology. Cold War, we're fighting communists, communist ideology. In this war, and it is a war, we are fighting jihadist ideology, Islamist ideology. That doesn't mean we're at war with every Muslim, obviously, but we have to acknowledge there is a significant and growing strain of the Muslim world that, yes, does support ISIS and subscribe to that worldview.
Once it's identified, then how do we go about stopping radicals in our midst?
Well, in our midst, I think, number one, we've had great, Greg, law enforcement and intelligence work since 9/11. We've had a lot of luck, quite frankly, but law enforcement, the FBI in many cases, not all cases, obviously, but in many cases, guys on the ground have done a great job. But I think, number one, if you have Paris, I think, is actually a good example. France, Greg, they recently shut down three radical mosques in the Paris area. That's a big deal. If we have mosques in this country that are incubators for radicalism, for jihad, for terrorism, and I've reported on this a lot, Greg, that many mosques in the United States have ties to the global Muslim Brotherhood movement and subscribe to that ideology. That's a dangerous thing. If we have mosques in our country where there's radical preaching and they're turning out young jihadis, we should shut those radical mosques down without a doubt, just as France did last month. So I think that's one way to start. Another thing, kind of a side issue but related, Greg, is this refugee issue. I believe that we need right now a timeout on immigration from countries like Yemen, Pakistan, Iran, Syria, Iraq. I think that's just common sense until we can get this thing handled or under some kind of handle. And in terms of the refugees coming in from Syria, which is a terror ISIS hotbed, look, there's no adequate way to vet these folks. That's according to the FBI director and the Department of Homeland Security chief.
We're speaking with Eric Stackelbeck. He's a terrorism analyst at the Christian Broadcasting Network. His book is ISIS Exposed. And Eric, there was an interview the president did, I guess, just before he left Washington for the holidays with NPR. And that interview has been released now. And a couple of his comments are raising some eyebrows I want to get your reaction to. The first is his effort to keep, from his perspective, the ISIS threat in perspective. Here's what he said.
It is also important for us to keep things in perspective. And this is not an organization that can destroy the United States. This is not a huge industrial power that can pose great risks to us institutionally or in a systematic way. But they can hurt us, and they can hurt our people and our families. And so I understand why people are worried.
What do you make of that?
Again, he fundamentally misunderstands the nature of the threat. He does not understand terrorism, especially of the Islamic variety. He doesn't get it, Greg. Look, this has already, Islamic terror, the Islamic terror threat has already changed our way of life. If you don't believe me, just go to an airport, try and get a flight and go through security. It's already profoundly changed our way of life, number one. Number two, he says, well, look, they can't destroy America, eliminate America. Guess what? If ISIS or another Islamic terror group gets their hands on a weapon of mass destruction, which they are working diligently to acquire, they might not be able to take down the whole country, Greg, but they can take out New York, Washington, Chicago, L.A. That's not alarmism. That's not fear tactics. That's a fact. It's a fact that ISIS and groups like it are trying to acquire weapons of mass destruction, whether they be nuclear, biological, chemical. And if you examine a dirty bomb and how to make that, Greg, it doesn't really take a brain surgeon to make a dirty bomb and set that off in a major American city. So, hey, maybe they can't destroy America, but look, they can cripple America. You have one, God forbid, one massive terror attack with a chemical, biological agent in, say, New York City or the financial district. You have a big problem here in the United States.
Let's talk about our profession a little bit, because he also believes the media has played a role in the concern over ISIS.
You know, ISIL combines viciousness with very savvy media operations. And as a consequence, if you've been watching television for the last month, all you've been seeing, all you've been hearing about is these guys with masks or black flags who are potentially coming to get you.
So, Eric, do you believe he's essentially saying that perhaps the media is spending too much time on this? What's your reaction to that?
I don't think so. I think in 24/7 cable news, look, they're feeding the beast, Greg, as we know. But in terms of Americans being too concerned or being influenced by cable news, look, again, he downplays the threat. Let me give you an example. His own administration officials, James Comey, the FBI director, said recently that we have some 1,000 cases right now in the United States that the Bureau is investigating with into ISIS-related activity in all 50 states. So the FBI director is saying that ISIS has a network of supporters and sympathizers in every state in the union. That's President Obama's own cabinet. Then you have the House Homeland Security Committee here in Washington, where I'm sitting, Greg, back in September released a report saying some 250 U.S. citizens have left their comfortable homes here, traveled to Iraq and Syria to join ISIS, and dozens of them have already returned. So these are government officials saying, and it's not just cable news saying.
Lastly, in terms of the military response to ISIS, the president essentially dismissing calls. You mentioned the carpet bombing suggested by Ted Cruz and others, saying we need to step up our military campaign, saying he's going on the advice of his military experts. We've done 9,000 strikes over the past 14 months, and the United States is doing everything it can militarily to strike at the heart of ISIS in Iraq and Syria. Based on the evidence you've seen, how close is he to being right?
He's not right. And I'm not a military strategist, Greg, I'll be the first to admit. But in writing ISIS Exposed, for instance, talking to the former generals, people from the military establishment who spent significant time at the Pentagon, all of them said, number one, these airstrikes are way too limited, way too constrained. And number two, you truly, if the goal is to defeat ISIS, you can't do it without some kind of ground presence. That does not mean a major U.S. ground invasion like we saw in Iraq in 2003 and 1991. It does not mean that. But think back to Afghanistan, Greg, in 2000, after 9/11, we had Special Forces, Delta Force, the CIA, our best on the ground. They led the Northern Alliance, and they routed the Taliban. I believe we can do the same thing today in Iraq and Syria. Not, you don't need a heavy footprint, but Special Forces, our best and brightest, leading the fight, leading the Kurds, for instance, who are fierce fighters, very pro-American. Look, ISIS is not an 800-pound gorilla. They can be destroyed and in short order, but we have to have the will to do it. It would be great to see the Arab nations rise up and eliminate this threat within their midst themselves, but for a variety of reasons, they're not up to the task. We're the leader of the free world. We need to lead the fight, and if we don't, think back to before 9/11. Al-Qaeda had a safe haven, the plot and plan that carried out 9/11 from Afghanistan. Today, ISIS has 36,000 square miles of territory in Iraq and Syria from which to plot and plan, and the added benefit, in their view, of thousands of Western recruits who can enter the United States and move around freely. That's why we need to deal with this threat now.
Eric, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks very much for being with us today, and Merry Christmas.
You too, Greg. Anytime. Thanks.
Eric Stackelbeck is a terrorism analyst for the Christian Broadcasting Network. He's the author most recently of ISIS Exposed, Beheadings, Slavery, and the Hellish Reality of Radical Islam. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.